Good morning. If you would open your Bibles to Mark chapter 8, grab one of your bulletins, go to the inside page or the middle page. There's some notes for you to follow along, some things I'd like for you to keep in your mind this week as we think about the significance of Mark chapter 8. As we begin this study, I want to share with you a couple things that are just family related. Number one, I want to say thank you primarily to the teens that came out Friday to help us. We've got some new chairs for our auditorium, so things are starting to develop over there. And so thank you so much for giving your time. The shipment was delayed a couple hours, but they hung around. We had several other members donating dollies or hand trucks, and so we got that knocked out. They told us to expect this unloading to be for take about 2 hours. And these kids got in there and knocked it out. I think 32 minutes was our time. So they deserve some appreciation and praise for the work that they've done. Today, also, I want to let you know that we are beginning our KFC program again. And so happening right now up in the new classroom, those kids, the small kids up to about kindergarten's age, are up there studying, having some puppet show and Bible lesson and having a great time. So thank you so much for getting your kids involved in that. I hope that they will learn some lessons. I want to share with you about EEM, Eastern European Missions. It's a program that our ministry, that our church has been involved with for several years. They are doing something through September called the Million Dollar Sunday, where they're trying to raise a significant amount of money so that they can print Bibles and resources primarily for Eastern European countries, but even broader than that. And so we are asking that you join us in prayer and consideration. Their motto this season is open your eyes and look at the fields. This is Jesus talking about the fields are white and they're ready for harvest. We want to prepare the workers that are there with resources that they need to be able to continue on that great work with churches and ministries, also going into the public schools, the local schools, educating young children about the gospel message. And I think this is a great way for us to put some dollars to work in influencing and blessing this world. And so over the next few weeks, we ask you to make a special donation. Put EEM on the bottom of your checks or on your cash envelopes, or if you're giving it online, put that in the memo line, and we will be encouraging them and their work. They're asking for $1 million. And so anyone who would just like to write that check, we won't have to make this announcement anymore. All right, so here's what I'm going to pledge. I'm going to ask us to pledge. I want us to do $10,000. Let's take 1% of that, and let's do $10,000. There's about 100 households within this congregation. If each of us gave $100, then we'd be able to knock this out. Now, I know that not every household is able to give $100. Some of you are able to give $5 or $6 or $7 or $800, and that's great because there's some other houses that are going to give $5 or $6 or $7 or $8. It will all balance out, but I think what we can do together will be a great blessing for their ministry. They're involved in about this over the next few weeks in the efforts and the things that they're doing. Look online and you'll see some of the information about really what they're striving for. They're calling it a $1 million Sunday or September, but really they're asking for $3.2 million because their efforts have grown. They are distributing more Bibles now than they ever have before, and I think this is a great opportunity for us to be a blessing into their ministry. Like I said, we're going to hear more about their work, but this is a significant opportunity. $100 will be able to purchase or deliver about 20 Bibles for them, and so that will be a great influence in a variety of homes. I want to share with you also that right after this service, we're inviting our congregation to get online. I know that's going to be a challenge because you're here in person, but those that are online, please join us in this virtual foyer chat. Imagine the foyer being open, the lobby being open for all of us to have this conversation. Join us online. Let us just interact with one another. If you're driving home, maybe pull up the app on your smartphone and dial in and connect with brothers and sisters. This will be a great way for us to be a family again. September 13th, 2 weeks from now. I want to encourage you to come out to the Branch Ranch for the afternoon. We're going to have a picnic. Bring your own. Bring your own lawn chairs, bring your own picnic, and we will just enjoy the day. If you want to go fishing, if you want to just play some games out there, if you want to just sit and talk, all that will be available to us. And then we will have an afternoon or evening devotional there in the sunset and just enjoy the day together. So we're calling that our family reunion on September 13th. Encourage you to be a part of that. With that in mind, now we are looking at Mark chapter 8. Encourage you to take a look at this. As Mark chapter 8, Jesus gives us these words in verse 34. He tells us, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul?" I want to talk to you about the challenging words that Jesus gives his disciples, that he gives to us today. Because for many of us, we might read this and find that as an imbalance or an unfair trade, that we're losing our life, that we're forfeiting something, and it doesn't seem quite right. I want to tell you that I've been in ministry for many years. Many of you know that we were in Japan for about 10 years. In fact, my three oldest were born there. While we were in Japan, we were given an opportunity to create an online ministry. We were able to work with a network of churches, and over time, we built one of the largest, in fact, it was the largest, year-round outreach ministries within the churches there in Japan. We spent 8 years in Sacramento, California, working with a pretty decent congregation. I had the opportunity to try to encourage our members to get up out of the pews and go into all the world. And so each year, about a third of our congregation, about 200, would join us in our local, our domestic, and our international mission trips as we tried to share the love of Christ around the world. 5 years while we were in Oklahoma, we worked with this congregation that was saddled with a large amount of debt after a new building project. And in about 3 years, of the first 3 years, we were able to help them pay off about $1.5 million. We've had a lot of ministry experience. But it was the last Sunday of August 2019 that I had the opportunity to become a part of the South Fork family. And today, on the last Sunday of August 2020, has a special place in my heart. These past 12 months have been challenging, haven't they? I mean, we've all had this shared experience of COVID and the joys that that brings, the challenges that that brings. There's been some great heartaches within our congregation, especially over the last few weeks. My family has enjoyed our time. It has been challenging. It's been rewarding. It has been full 12 months. In fact, I jokingly tell people it has been the best 5 years of my life. The past 12 months have been rough, though. I have had the opportunity to move, relocating and starting a new job, finding a new home, new school, new schools, joining a new church family. I had the opportunity in the last 12 months to send off my oldest to college for the first time. I even got my first experience with a worldwide pandemic, and that was a joy. The challenges, though, have been immense. All joking aside, it has been a challenging 12 months. But I want you to know that I would do it again. In fact, I'm here to say that I want to do it again. I want to join you for this next year. If you would have me, if you would have us, we want to partner. Don't give me the shrug. I know. We want to partner with you. Let me say it this way. I want you to follow me. As I follow Christ, of course. I want you to follow me as I stand right beside you. As we stand together in the trials that may come, in the joys that may come. Listen to what Paul writes as he describes Jesus in Philippians chapter 2. You've heard this before, but listen to it again. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. It says, "Have this same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the form of a servant. And being made in human likeness, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every other name, and that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want you to notice what Jesus really said. That Jesus' ministry is this, that I want you to follow me as I stand right beside you. He is coming to this world to live as one of us, to be with us, to be in this life through the drama and the joys of every day. Jesus is with us, and he's calling us to follow him. As a Christ follower, I want to be able to say the same thing. I want you to be able to say the same thing. I want you, my friends, my family, my co-workers, the students at school, I want you to be able to follow me as I follow Christ, of course. I want you to be able to follow me as I stand right beside you. That's a beautiful perspective of what ministry, what life really should be. Jesus reminds us that in this world we will have trouble. But he says, I give you this promise. I give you this peace that I have overcome the world. It is that unique perspective of the power of Jesus in our world. We're looking at Mark chapter 8. And in these first seven chapters, and now in chapter 8, we hear story after story after story of the greatness of God performed in unique ways, that people are being healed, that their sight is being given back, that their hearing is being given back, that they're able to walk and to live and to run and to participate. We're seeing the feeding of multitudes. In fact, in this chapter, in the first 13 verses, we see 4,000 people that are being fed in a great way. And it's almost to the point where it's becoming redundant. It's becoming so cliche or mundane. We've become numb to these great stories. If you've ever traveled to Europe, you've seen the cathedrals, you've seen the castles, and it's over and over and over again, almost to the point where, okay, I've seen it, enough is enough. I've been to enough museums, and you're just like, this is too much. Mark starts the same way as he gives this story. But for 3 days, there was this gathering of people. They were without any resources. There was not a supply truck or supply line coming. There was nothing for these people. They were in this region where that man, you remember him, he was demon-possessed. The demons said that they were legion, for they were many. As he goes home and he tells everybody about what Jesus has done for him, now this is the crowd that gathers in response. And for 3 days, they're out there listening to Jesus. For 3 days, they're out there without the resources or the marketplace to be able to provide for them. And Jesus has compassion and he feeds them. And in Mark chapter 8, verse 8, it says, the people ate and they were satisfied. They were satisfied. It is this spectacular moment that now gives us a moment of realization, because Jesus and his disciples, they get in the boat together. They start to go to the other side, and somebody forgot to pick up the leftovers. Someone forgot to bring dinner for the team. And I can imagine this conversation, conversation that's ensuing here in the boat, as sometimes in my house this happens. It wasn't my job. I'm not the one who was supposed to be bringing the food. I'm the one who takes care of the money. You're the one. And we point the fingers. We pass the blame. We pass the buck. And the disciples here, in the moment right after this great miracle, start to have these arguments and discussion about what they're missing. Who missed? And Jesus says, don't you remember when I fed the 5,000? And the disciples said, yeah. He said, do you remember how many baskets we picked up? How about today when we fed the 4,000? Do you remember how many leftovers there were? And then Jesus says to them, "Do you still not understand?" I think that's a fair question for us in our lives because we read these examples of the greatness of Jesus. But yet when he comes to verse 34 and the end of this chapter, when he calls us to a life that is daily picking up our cross, that is living in a new way, it starts to feel like he's asking us to do something that's out of balance, that's unfair, that somehow we're going to be mistreated, somehow we're giving up more than we're going to get, and we lose the perspective of the greatness of God. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you must pick up your cross. Daily, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. I want to share with you this way, Jesus' way, the way of the cross that he's speaking about, the power that is in this for just a moment. Look at these letters and let them be a symbol, a reminder for you as you go about your week this week. The way is reminding us that today, the T is today. Each and every day, this is going to be a daily reminder. This is going to be our participation. It is not an expectation. It is not a demand, but it is an opportunity. Think of it this way. How many of us like to eat? How many of us like to eat every day? How many of us grudgingly say, "Oh, I have to eat breakfast again. Oh my goodness, we're going to have to do dinner." No, we don't. With joy, we sit down and we enjoy a meal with our family or with our friends. It is a daily opportunity. It is a daily opportunity for us to enjoy the presence of God. Daily, I will participate. This is a heart, H, heart. This is my internal mind, my true character, the nature of who I am. I am going to have this as the center of where I am. And E is the exchange. This is the value of understanding that what Jesus is asking me to give and what I feel like I'm sacrificing is really of great value. It is of great opportunity. It is propelling me into His way and His direction. It is giving power and motion to God's kingdom, which is not a real sacrifice, but it is a real blessing. And I'm going to exchange what is temporary for something that is valuable and rewarding and life-giving. W is for willingly, that this is on purpose, with a decision. This is with regard to the new value, that I joyfully claim this opportunity. A is for accepting. This is where I'm going to write my name on the line. I'm going to agree. I'm going to make the decision. And Y is for you, Lord. Y is for that yoke. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you, for it is light and easy." Compared to all the other things that we could put on our shoulders, the way that Jesus is calling us to live and to act is light and easy compared to all these other things. How many of us in the recent weeks have let the burdens of this world stack up on our shoulders? Over and over and over again, we feel the weight of this world pulling us down. But Jesus says, "My yoke is easy. My way is light." And as a Christ follower, I want to say to my friends, I want to say to my family, I want to say to my coworkers, I want to say to my students and friends, come follow me as I follow Christ. Come follow me because I'm going to be right beside you. Isn't that what Jesus has said and demonstrated? I believe over the next 9 weeks in particular, they're going to be bumpy for us. We are growing tired of this COVID and the restrictions that we have. The election is heating up. Our black brothers and sisters are feeling systematically thwarted and destroyed. Our white brothers and sisters feel stymied as how we can better show love or speak love. The economic news is challenging. The nights are getting longer. And as we live in an increased disconnected way, we feel the burden and the pressures on our shoulders alone. But I want to remind us that God is bigger than COVID. In fact, we call Jesus the great physician. That God can bridge centuries of injustice and hatred and hurt because we see the throne room of Jesus. We see that great vision of what Revelation is going to be like, where it's all people, all nations, all languages surrounding the throne. We know that God can supply our needs, all of our needs. Scripture says, according to His riches in the glory of Jesus Christ. And that God will give you the words to speak, even in difficult and tough times. This morning, I want to ask you if you will be a Christ follower, that as you see the challenges approaching, that you will use His words, His ways, to say, I want to lead by being right there in the midst. Daily, we're going to pick up our cross. We are going to deny ourselves, and we're going to follow Him. It is not a cost, but it's an opportunity. It's a blessing. This morning, if you've lost sight of the blessings of being in Christ, I pray that you'll pull one of our shepherds aside and let them pray over you and counsel you. If you would like encouragement and help along the way, our office is open throughout the week. Please come by and let us share and encourage one another and read God's Word. If there's any way that we might be able to help you as you start off this new week, don't let one more minute pass. Now let's stand together. Let's sing this song of encouragement, and let's continue to be a light for Christ.
Lord, take my life. May